This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good morning. It is January 1st, 2011. It is the first day of the new year, and happy new year to anybody who's listening. I know there's some responsible people out there listening to my show week in, week out, and there's some irresponsible people. The irresponsible people are probably still sleeping. It is between 7 and 8 a.m. every Saturday on here, the AM 97 of the Apple of Talk in New York. This is a Disaster Recovery Hour. What we talk about here, what we've talked about in the last, I guess, 4 or 5 months since the show's inception. And may I add, it's been going quite well. We talk about disasters and emergencies and some of the tools and the tools and the tips that we can help in avoiding disasters or emergencies. And if they do happen, what can you do to get through those difficult times and trying times? And in the last, we've had some fabulous guests. It's kind of I'll do a bit of a recap of the show's history. We have lots of guests on the show. With different disciplines in the world of disasters and dealing with disasters, property. It's also health-wise with Dr. Archie from Living Heart Foundation regarding diabetes and CV, cardiovascular disease. It's happening in this country at a rampant pace. That's coming down. That's in the future. And you see those commercials on TV, the NFL Network, or you see them on ESPN. You know, Play 60, and that's what they're driving about is the diabetes and the overweightness of our young people. And I got young kids. Just want to prep you because we're you know, everyone's been following the Haitian situation with BP and LP down there, and LP being incarcerated for a charge which is falsely accused of kidnapping and turning the baby into a zombie. If you guys have caught Anderson 360, BP's been on there a couple of times. This is the Saturday show, but I did tape 3 days ago with BP regarding the first day of LP's little Paul Wagner's court date and the things that went south and sideways that day. And so I got BP on the phone with the Skype, and that's going to be the second and third segment of this program. I know a lot of people are following it through the Twitter, and we give out the updates, and there's other people giving out the updates with Nancy from MMRC. So stick around with that. That's like I said, Big Paul was on AC360. This for a quick segment. This segment is a little lengthier. Paul really gets into the situation of and all the nuances of this ridiculousness. Be on the lookout in the second and third segment of the program for that. This past week we got crushed. We got crushed with the snow. It was a full 24 hours of shoveling and driving and coming back and shoveling. It was. It's funny that it comes on the heels of Nick Morisi last week. We were talking about winter preparedness. Nick was telling you about what to do if you need to drive and what are some of the things you should have in your car, whether you get stuck. And also then we had Paul Faust from 1-800-REPAIR.com with the kits, whether they're kits for your home, whether they're kits for workplace or your car. We were talking about the car because we knew about having the winter months just starting officially last week, and it's really kicked the door in, if you will. It doesn't open up and come in quietly. It came in with a big bang, and in the southern part of Jersey, Long Island, 80 cars stuck on the turnpike and the parkway this past week. 80 cars. And they interviewed and had to extract these people, some of them by helicopter, because the state police were jumping out of these helicopters and rescuing them because of the snow drifts. And it was pretty insane. We up in North Jersey, we didn't get hit as bad as it was as they said it was going to happen. But Long Island got murdered. The southern part of Bergen County and Hudson County and the southern counties here in Jersey. New York got hit good. They had 2 feet. I know Central Park measured out at two and a half feet or something like that. It's some things I'm not telling you anything, but you know what? It's funny because you started sometime on Sunday afternoon was my first shoveling. Then I went inside and watched that debacle by the Giants, so that didn't last that long. So I went back out to shoveling for another 4 hours. And then got up early, shoveled again, went to work for a little while, and I check on a job. Worried about the heavy snow and a situation that we got going on down there in Hudson County. Back home to shovel, and I think I had dinner, took a shower, went to bed. So I'm pretty much like everyone else in our region. With that, you know, we adhere to what Nick had to say about driving and the things that you should have in your car. Hopefully some people picked up some of those tools. I saw some of the comments this past week on the Disaster Recovery Radio comments page. And also, you know, we've been giving the live updates. So just so Bill was just giving me some information about twitter.com/DRH Radio. This is where we were giving up live when Paul was in the courthouse at BP. I know I'm jumping around here, but so follow me because I'm a little jacked up this morning. It is the first of the new year, and hopefully it's going to be a good new year for me and everybody else I know, family and friends, including you people out there. So now we have the new facebook.com/DRH Radio. That's facebook.com/DRH Radio. So if you've got the things you want to talk about or give out some information, that they'd be more than happy to bring it out on the air. So regarding this pass with the storm, now we're moving into the warmer parts of the week. You know, the weekend's supposed to be warm, above 45. And remember, you have this, you could have possible with the ice damming and the gutters, you know, so look out for that flooding, because now it gets warm and the snow melting is that much quicker. So if you just joined us, it's a Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. It looks like we might be taking a look at a new time slot for us. We'll roll that out when it's appropriate, but looking at it a little later in the day for some of you people who are still sleeping at between 7 and 8 in the morning. But it's been a great ride so far with the show. You know, you had Captain Dan, you had Chief Fedorchek from the Westwood Fire Department. You know, even Steve Russo, you know, with piano restoration, because he deals with a lot of fires and floods with musical instruments. And, you know, I had Kevin, Big Kevin, with the Premier Drawing Solutions. He's also a Service Master franchisee. Runs a great business. He and Vinny Vincenzo out there on the island. If you guys are listening out there in Ireland, they're a great company for emergency services. Believe me, you just got to check out Premier Drawing Solutions and by Service Master. Then there's always the Nick Morisi from the state, New Jersey State Police, the OEM, Communication Director, and with numerous other people. We had when we had Katie McKenna from PTV. She was the documentary filmmaker out of Canada, and she was down in Haiti, so we kind of like leapfrogged into her off of when I had Little Paul and Big Paul on the show late October, just around Halloween-ish time. And then we had Dave Fenuhazi, who was my first guest. He's a good friend of mine. He and I were doing some emailing swappings the other day. He's very busy this time of year, because if you've been looking at the papers and in our area, we've been experiencing a lot of fires. It happens this time of year. A lot of electrical issues, candles, and, you know, when we were talking about with Captain Dan and Chief Fedorchek, you know, holiday seasons bring on these fires because of, you know, paying attention to overloading outlets and candles and, you know, pets with candles. It gets dicey, and we get busy in the emergency business world. Like I said, you always want to meet me socially. You don't want to meet me professionally. We also had Mike Venentes. He's from the Prep Room. Mike's website, you can check that out. There was the Prep Room. Lots of stuff out there that you could buy individually. There's the conversion for clean water, things that I thought was very cool. He's got a lot of products out there that you can purchase on the internet. And you know, Larry Mattis from the auction. Larry gave us, you know, I deal with the auction guys who with fire damage or water damage, but I had no idea this part. I've been doing this for a long time. I had no idea that there was such a larger scale part of the salvage business. So Larry gave me some insight, which, you know what, these are the guys that I lean on when I come to these emergencies. You know, there's fine arts. Can the clothing be salvaged? Can, you know, how about my furniture? You know, all these things come into play. And then there's the repair work. You know, I got some good carpenters out there that I use. And then there's also the insurance guys, you know, breaking down policies and what the verbiage is inside these policies. Because the insureds, you out there, homeowner, business owner, have these emergencies and disasters happen in your life. And, you know, you need to navigate through these and get you in the right direction. So with that, what we're going to do here is we're going to jump into the taping that I did with BP this past Wednesday. And it gives you the behind the scenes of what's happening in that courtroom when LP was in front of the judge. All right, so we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Call 201-483-8953. That number again is 201-483-8953. Visit us on the web at www.cppems.com. Write this number down. 201-483-8953. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. Servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back from the break. I got Paul on Skype, Big Paul, Paul Sebring, down in Haiti. I know some of you folks saw him the other night with AC360, Anderson Cooper. We've been following Paul for two reasons. One, that we've become good friends. Didn't realize it was going to get hairy like this. But also, Paul gets... Paul gets to tell us what's really happening down there for more of a lengthy interview regarding little Paul, Paul Wagner. Paul, you're looking a little tired. What happened yesterday with the judge?
Man, yesterday was just, I don't know what happened. You know, we had our meeting scheduled for 10 a.m. and judge had delays, didn't show up till noon. And then little Paul met with the judge and he gave his statement and testimony. From there, the father was called in for what's called a verbal confrontation, which means that because, you know, 2 days ago, the father came in, saw the judge and gave his verbal testimony. So the verbal confrontation is the judge actually does a cross-examination of both parties. And, you know, from what I'm understanding, that from the judge, he talked to them, and I was able to see little Paul for briefly when this was over, and he was telling me that the dad kept changing his story. He didn't have anything to back it up, and, you know, it's one of those things where everything was said and done. It was ready to go. It was 4 o'clock p.m. Let's get the paperwork signed, and the power got and went out on the building.
They cut the power every day at 4?
I don't know. Last Friday on the 24th, he was supposed to go and see the judge, and there was no power at all. You'd think that, you know, they'd be able to maintain something like that because they have generators.
Yeah. So when the father's having his say, I shouldn't say say,
his side of the story, yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, so what is LP doing? He just sits and stands by?
Yeah, he just, actually, the statements were given at separate times, so LP was not there when the father gave his statement. All it was when they little Paul and the father were in the same room together was during the cross-examination where the judge was asking them both questions and they would have to answer them.
And what about you? Are you there when the father is talking?
They don't let me in. The only people in the room on like that were little Paul, our attorneys, the father, and a translator.
And so before Paulie gets LP gets transported to the judge, he's just sitting in a cage.
Yeah, pretty much. With four other guys, and he's I saw him yesterday. He looks like hell. He's really dehydrated, and I thought we'd been taking him enough food and water. Problem is that he's giving it to all of his cellmates because they're less fortunate than he is.
Yeah.
So we got to up that really good today.
My question also is for you. Are you getting sleep? Are you eating? What's cooking with you?
With me, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm not the one in prison.
I know.
I sleep as much as I can, which is probably about, you know, lately it's gotten better. It's 4 hours a night. And then just try and, you know, do what I got to do.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm asking him because he obviously he needs you to be strong on the outside to fight his outside fights, and you know, not to say
I appreciate that.
You know what I'm saying? I just, you know, if you go down, he's got nobody.
No, that won't happen. We've got a couple of friends here that came in, and we've got some other, you know, aid workers that are working with us to help with everything. And we've got a good support staff, and the girls that just came in have worked with us several times before, and they basically have relieved a lot of the duties by taking off a lot of the stresses. And so, you know, Yvette and Sarah have been instrumental in that.
Are those the girls that I met up at the...
No, you met... Christina and Michelle.
That's right. I should have remembered those names. The housemates. Who's in the house with you?
We've got the boys. We've got Walter, Ralph, Junior, Billy, Forrest, and Ellie. Wilson was a new addition. He had to leave today. He's actually a professional boxer that Little Paul met in the Dominican Republic because we just got a vehicle and he brought it over, and this kid needed a ride. So he just picked him up, and Wilson's been with us for 4 weeks now, just helping out. And he's like really distraught about what's going on. He's very upset with his own country for putting Little Paul through this, but he has to go out into the country because he's got to start training because he's going to Panama for a few rep matches.
Now, does he get to go to and from the DR with no issues?
Yeah, he's got a passport and a visa.
So what about the State Department, our people down there? Are you getting any communication with them, or is it at their leisure, or are they responsive towards your needs and LP, you know, obviously LP's needs? How's that going?
Basically, you know, I'm pretty disappointed in them. On the 24th, we had our first hearing, and I asked them what time they were going to be there. Seeing as how they're processing, the answer I keep getting from them is that it's their job to, their only job is to make sure that the judicial process is followed through by law and that there's no, you know, hang-ups and everything's done the way it should be. I figured if he's going to a hearing, they might probably want to be there. But it was on the 24th, and the answer I got was that it was a holiday. There's nothing they could do. When I told them about yesterday's hearing, they couldn't make it out there. Going back to the 24th, I said, well, if he is released, we are in a pretty dangerous part of town. What about the security detail you guys offered? Initially, that was not an option anymore. So basically, you know, they're taking the stance of, you know, they're overseeing it or they're monitoring it. They've seen him once in the prison, and I understand that, you know, I've read that to where they only have to go visit an American in prison in a foreign country once every 2 weeks.
I mean, is it, you still with me?
Yeah, you here?
Yeah. Are there other NGOs? I mean, is this common? I mean, this is, you know, LP has made world news. So, I mean, just once every 2 weeks, so they adhere to that? I mean, is that, you know, a little more sense of urgency?
From what I'm being told, they don't want to look like they're trying to interfere with the process here.
Oh, okay.
I mean, personally, I guess it's a catch-22. I have to respect it because I feel if they do come off as they're interfering, then, you know, some people might get their pride up and, you know, put somebody's back to a wall, and the process will take longer. So, in a way, yeah, in some sick way, does it make sense? Maybe.
Right.
Because that way the local judges and lawyers feel that everything is going by their rules.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're not being pressured. But then at the same time, you know, I'm thinking to myself, how much damn money is coming into this place because of, you know, U.S. aid and, you know, foreign aid. Let's go ahead and just expedite this because, you know.
Right. I mean, yeah, no, I understand that. I understand. I mean, I don't condone that. I mean, but then again, I can understand it. But the frustration that is mounting on, well, frustration is way past that. I don't know what kind of word I can use to describe it. This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm on the Skype phone with BP. Everybody knows who BP is. It's been a good social media, so everybody knows about this, and it's made national news, which is excellent. Because it's, I can't say it on the radio, it's really screwed up. We're going to Well, besides the what, the Idaho 7, is that
Idaho? There was 10.
Idaho 10 is the. I mean, it's not like this is a rampant situation down there. Like NGOs are going haywire and doing illegal things. You guys stepped up, did the right thing, and nothing's come of it for helping wise. So, is there more LPs out there? Is this?
Well, from what I'm understanding, I mean, the way we do things is very different than most other groups down here. They all have their rules and regulations and security, which is probably why they are not in prison on charges of kidnapping a zombie child. So basically what it comes down to is, you know, they really have had to distance themselves from us, unfortunately. I do understand why they're doing it. It's a security risk. But at the same time, I was really expecting a lot more from them, seeing as that over the last year, we've really helped out and really, you know, impacted a lot. There have been key individuals that have been very helpful, very prominent individuals in the volunteer community down here that have been very helpful. And we've been talking a lot personally, so I really do thank them for everything they've been doing.
Let's go to a break. We'll be right back with BP, and he's got a rock and roll. He's got stuff to do helping out LP. Go to a break. Be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back from the break, and we're still on the phone with BP, talking about LP and Little Paul and Big Paul being in Haiti, incarcerated for, you know, with no charges, just incarcerated. Are you getting a feeling that some of the NGOs you said before we went to the break, are kind of distance themselves from you? But what about the future? I mean, Americans who've been doing, besides being the policemen of the world, were the biggest contributor to helping with aid and manpower and supplies. This could scare the hell out of people from saying, hey, man, you know what? I don't want to go in. I don't want to help. What happened to that little, LP and BP? What are the things that these people can say, or you can tell them for the future? Like, you know, you still need to do the humanitarian thing. These are the possible fallouts if you don't follow this. You don't follow that, even though this is just out of left field. And how do you prepare for some guy saying, "Hey, where's my kid? He's a zombie." How do you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the biggest thing right now is the people of Haiti. They need help. This is, at the end of the day, this is just a messed up situation. Yeah, I'll agree with that. But, you know, I know LP has expressed repeatedly that he doesn't want people to cancel their trips here to help out. When you do come down, make sure that you obey the laws of the land. You don't do anything too crazy. I think that, we kind of left ourselves out there for a little bit because of the fact that we are the ones that go out, and we're basically the ones that don't follow the rules. And we don't plan on changing that ever. You know, we understand that that position has to be taken. But if you're coming down for the first time, go ahead and, stay with a bigger group. Make sure that, you're just being respectful to the culture, things of that nature. And, if anything does happen where, like in the event here where if you're medical and you're working on a child that is, or a person that has died, make sure that, the hospital does have the death certificate, that the family is well aware of it and everything like that.
Yeah, some of those coalitions that come down and they're trying to do the right thing, but, when I met you guys, you had the street smarts to make this thing happen. I can almost be positive that the hospitals were grateful that they ran into BP and LP, because you got it done. There was no red tape, but also adhering to the local laws, because you have to. I mean, you're not getting it right.
Yeah, we do. And that's the whole thing is we do adhere to the local laws. We don't play by the NGO rules. of, you know, lockdown at six, if there's, you know, riots because of the politics, you know. When I, during the election on the recount, LP literally was driving around medical personnel and doctors that had to get to these their destinations to treat patients, and he's literally like dodging mobs and driving through, you know, columns of burning tires, and putting his life in the line to make sure that these medical personnel got where they needed to be. You know, no other NGO I know is going to be doing that. They basically say, lock the gate, okie doke, thanks. But they do have, you know, they've got their people that they have to take care of and everything like that. And we don't plan on changing anything about how we do things because we've never broken any laws here, anything like that. So we just, you know, got to keep doing it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think I can't imagine some of these NGOs saying, well, you know what? Maybe the system we have in place for the last 50 or 60 years, it needs to be modified. And because, you know what? When there are no rules, how do you play by rules when there aren't any?
And that's where I think that's where the key thing to keep in mind is that the other groups, the other NGOs down here that we've worked with, the individuals have been very supportive of us, but they take the stance that they have to distance themselves. And we respect that completely. We don't want anyone else to become targets for anything. And so they've got to do what they've got to do. We do know that we have the full support of the individuals. And so that's all we can ask. But, you know, they've done everything that they can. And there's no, I mean, we're not upset with any of them at all.
Right, right. I mean, but on a whole, you said it before with, you know, the money being poured in and you as an American, a strong American, you and LP, you know, it's a disservice to themselves. You know, it's you know, people, you know, you look on that those social media things and people saying, but they're there to help. Why is the upper echelon of the Haiti government, you know, cracking down on somebody who's done the right thing? And it's on a guy who stole, you know, all the listeners and whatever on the stateside that you know, people ask us, like, you know, why? But there is no why, is there?
No, there is none. We have never been asked for money, like in a form of a bribe. We have not been influenced by anything. It's one of those cases where I really have no idea what's going on or why this is happening. It's very strange. If that someone had come up to and said, "Okay, give me X number of dollars, and the problem will go away," then a lot of answers would be, you know, a lot of questions would be answered. But that has never happened. So, yeah, it's just, it's very confusing why this is going on.
Yeah. I know it's you know, anybody listening, this is a tape segment of it. Paul, when he's in the heat of trying to get LP out of an unjustifiable incarceration on this zombie case, if you will. It's the Disaster Recovery Hour with Chris Plunkett, and I am Skyping in with BP, Big Paul Sebring, and LP. I wish I could talk to him not for the show, obviously. But I know you got to rock and roll, bro. If you need to scoot, I know you're tired of doing these things. I you know what, with our availability to get the whole interview out there, I hope you I think it's been very successful. Well, a lot of people are following, and to encourage LP that he's that. You know, a lot of people are in this corner, and I don't want to sound trivial, but I'll let you roll. You know, I know you're tired, and you know, I'll text.
No, and I really do appreciate you guys giving us a chance to do this and keeping in touch with us more, you know, more as friends than as anything else, because it does give a lot of hope to LP when I tell him that you and I talked, and you know, he knows that you've got you're a good person, and you know, you and Bill, and he really is just very grateful for all the support you're giving him.
Now, I'll let you rock and roll. I'm going to cut out right now. So on a recap, after I hung up with him, we had a couple of more words, and he got a text from the State Department and asking for the contact information for his lawyer. It might have been misplaced. I don't know. He wasn't too happy with that text. But then he got the, and again, I'm not saying that, you know, these guys are doing bad things. I got a lot of NGOs, and, you know, it's still very, very crazy down there. But then you got
Then he got a text from his attorney, which was encouraging, is what he said, at this time in the morning. Again, this was taped on Wednesday morning, the day after Paul's first court appearance. And being today is the 29th of December for this segment, just so you know, if you're listening, you're not going to lose or go back in time like Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. We wanted to get Paul, get him on the phone, and he needed to talk to me and blah, blah, so on and so forth. But with the recap, so the attorney contacted the prosecutor and said, listen, get those papers back in the judge's hands early this morning. Let's get rocking and rolling. That's at 7:40, which is very encouraging, as Paul said. So as a recap, a lot of frustration still, anger now. How do you have a guy's life on the line and the power gets cut out, and you say, "All right, cut." I mean, it's not a movie theater; it's not a radio show. It's not like, okay, tomorrow we'll pick it up where we left off. It's a guy's life. I mean, what are we talking about here? BP. The amazing thing about these two guys is that they didn't know each other here in the States. They found each other. And I think it's maybe God's intervention or so, or fate or whatever like that. To have a couple of one guy's got medical training, the other guy is in construction, but yet is a good mechanic and is able to pretty much MacGyver a lot of stuff. And that's what you do in a pretty much a war torn country, which is not for the war, but Mother Nature beat him up pretty good to make it look like a war zone down there, between the earthquake and then the aftershock and then the hurricane, and then you throw in biological issues with cholera. These guys, and they're still ticking. These guys, Timex should make a commercial with these guys. Just amazing stuff. With that, God bless these two guys. I was thinking the other day about when I was shoveling my snow in the driveway. You know what? I'm grateful for having the opportunity to shovel snow in a free country. Okay, and I got a buddy down there. I got LP, who I consider these guys friends. I've known them for coming up on 3 months now. They found us on Twitter. We found them, and it's been a good relationship and just big-hearted guys. So I was grateful that, I'm shoveling snow. I get a buddy in prison, for unjustifiable incarceration of the baby going made into a zombie. I just can't fathom it. But you know what? That's it's a culture, and I respect that. We're going to go to break and pick up the show. And this is a Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every Saturday between 7 and 8 a.m. on AM 970 The Apple, Talk New York. So let's hit that break, pay a couple bills, and we'll be right back. Thanks.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970 The Apple. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. CPP is the answer. CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company with 20 years' experience in emergency management and restoration. Our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition. Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next? Fire, smoke, water, or mold? CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. We've got answers. For more information, visit us on the web at www.cppems.com or give us a call at 201-483-8953. That's 201-483-8953. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970 The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back. Commercial break and paying some bills, as I always say, every weekend. I get a couple of stock phrases, you say. You got it. It's that's what people are. Your next door neighbor probably says the one thing that, whether it drives you crazy or not, he's always got something like he calls you chief or, hey, pally or something like that. But everyone's got their own little gig. But the segment you just heard from BP was, like I said before, was it was taped on Wednesday morning, and Tuesday afternoon down in Haiti they had the hearing for LP, little Paul, in front of the judge, and And the judge was a couple hours late. Nothing new there. And what happened was they started going through the process, the paperwork, blah, 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 blah. They had the father come in and speak about his grief and what he thought had happened. I don't have the transcripts for that, so I really can't tell you. But BP just gave us a little background on what he said, even though BP is not actually inside the courtroom. They don't allow anybody in there. I don't know if you got that off that segment. But 4 o'clock Tuesday afternoon, the power gets shut out of the courthouse. So that put the kibosh, and little Paul got hauled back to prison. You know, so without power. Meanwhile, they have 3 generators outside the building that can fire up the building in no time. So these are the frustrations that these guys are experiencing down there. And you know what? With going down with not good intentions, these guys had good intentions before they got down there. They did the right thing. You know, if you saw the AC-360 Anderson Cooper thing, you know, little Paul's out there. I mean, you saw the villages he was walking through and the kids. You see the genuine. The genuineness of little Paul and big Paul about committing themselves to this tragedy with the Haitian earthquake, and then the aftershock that happened from there, and then you come down, you have the hurricane, and then you have the cholera outbreak. That cholera outbreak now is 2 months old. We were actually taping the very first time I met the guys here at the studio. We were taping when little Paul got an email saying there was a cholera outbreak of, 15 people are dead already. That was like in an afternoon. So they've been doing their, the State Department and the Haitian government have been doing their due diligence trying to track down how this actually came about. That's a still ongoing investigation. So now it's Saturday. There is another update, which I'm hoping... It turns out all right. It looks like this past Wednesday, after I had the interview later on during the day, BP emailed me saying that the judge had, what it exactly said was, the ruling has been handed down by the judge and there is not enough evidence to charge Paul Wagner with kidnapping. Papers are being sent to the prosecutor to be signed, and the prosecutor has 3 days to sign those papers. In the meantime, Paul gets shipped back to the prison. The good thing is he won't be put into general population. He'll be back to the old cell where he had those 2 other cellmates. So after that segment, on 4 o'clock, on about 4 o'clock, I got the update from BP via an email. BP and LP, they're free. Bottom line is they're free. The rigmarole of what transpired down there, you know, we'll get into it because BP and LP are going to be on the show next week. They're done. They're doing paperwork to get the I'm sorry that I'm saying two because I'm really jacked up right now. They're getting their passports. They're going to Miami. We're gonna shoot down it. That's actually another phone call from BP and. And I'm just jacked up. So we're gonna go from there, and we'll talk about it we're actually gonna fly down to Miami with these guys and hang out. And I tell you, if you can see me, I'm smiling. This is just great stuff. You know, it's not like Midnight Express over there in Turkey when that guy got left in the prison, whatever. You know, it's a good ending, and I'm glad everybody's been following on. And I'm a lucky guy. I'm a lucky guy. I met these guys, and they have influenced my life, and it's you know. I said the BP in the interview before. You know, I felt kind of selfish that, you know, I'm getting some notoriety from them, but you know what? These guys, they do the right thing, and let's just roll with that. If you just join us, it's Disaster Recovery. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, and if you are listening out there, hope you are. Hope you enjoyed your night last night, didn't overindulge. But we had some crazy, crazy stuff this past year. You know, you have these fire tornadoes that hit Brazil, that hit Hawaii, and you know what? It's a product of a dry environment and no moisture in the air, and then these fires happen. They have basically fire tornadoes, and it's pretty magical to look at, but the devastation is mind-boggling. The Atlantic hurricane season, it wasn't as bad as they predicted. It did say you know, you had 19 storms, which tied the 1887 to 1995 third highest on record. But I worked the hurricanes 6 years ago down in Florida. Those four blasted Florida, and then the following year you had Katrina. So I'm a little prejudiced to hurricanes and what's big and what's not. Some of the other things, and you had that not only in our country, but then you had the Chilean miners getting trapped. We did have some record-breaking heat in pockets of the entire world. A lot of hundreds, I think most were hundreds on record for the last 50 years, and we had mudslides in Brazil, Portugal, China, crazy. And then also you had the Pakistani floods. You know, let's put it this way, you know, Pakistan, Afghanistan, you know, we have a war going on, you know, a little difficult to get to get behind all that. I mean, so many people over there, and, you know, well, listen, we're fighting a war. That's the biggest tragedy of them all right now, the biggest disaster going on right now. Like to end that situation. And everybody, as you know, I've been on the forefront of bringing this out every week about the Haiti and the guys down there. You know, that ranks up there like number three in the world with the disasters. It was really the magnitude is a 7.0. That did that something in Los Angeles, it would be insane. And then, well, you know, the last but not least is the BP, and that's not Paul. That's not Paul Sebring, or Big Paul, I should say. It's the oil spill, BP down in the Gulf, and the damage that it did down there. I know a couple of guys who went down there. They did beach patrol, if you will. They were running crews of 50 and 75 guys at a time, and women, cleaning up the beaches. And I just heard a story. When was it? It was this past Thursday that. The actual damage. This was on one of the news radio shows, so I'm just regurgitating. I'm not giving out facts. That it wasn't as bad because it was a light crude oil. If that makes sense. If you anybody out there who's an ecologist or deals with geography and knows rocks and fossils and such, it wasn't as bad as they thought because it was lighter and the algae inside the water was able to break it down and eat it at a quicker rate than they anticipated. So, it was a wacky year for that. So with that said, we're just kind of like wrapping it up. I mean, it's been a great, very good run for me here at the show. We've got some good feedback, and the comments page is great. You know, with the social media, you have we now have twitter.com/drhradio, and also now with Facebook, and that's facebook.com/drhradio. And there's always also my website, and there's always the standby. You got cppems.com. That's my website. Again, we have the comments page. We answered some of them this past week, and I believe somebody was from the school systems. We don't know exactly where. We're waiting for another contact from that person. And yeah, we'd love to come out and with some of my knowledge, and also with some of the guys who've been on the show. Depending on how you want to talk about preparedness for the kids in school, I'd love that. I mean, it's very applicable because I got an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old, and. Yeah, reach out for us, and we'll get that out of the books, and start make this thing more aware, and you know, because you know what, it's just like the Wave Place with Tim Falconer. You know, he went down to Haiti, and he's been around this world. He's been in Africa. You know, if you're not going to educate your kids, the future is going to be a little more less obtainable, if you will. At least that's my opinion. So if the kids already know about being prepared. It's going to be that much better for the future for them. I mean, it's like I said, preparedness comes in many forms, just like preparing for a test when you're in school. So, this is Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. It is the first day of the new year. Happy New Year to all. And listen, we might be moving to another time slot, but we'll give you the heads up on that. Hopefully you are looking for a bright future this year, and hopefully this past year brought you many gifts also. Listen, reach out for us. Again, all my guys are out there looking to answer those questions on the comments page. We'll talk to you next week, and always, let's end the war. Let's bring home our men and women, our troops, and God bless our country. Take care now.
You've been listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, from CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. You can reach Chris by calling 201-483-8953. And don't forget to tune in every Saturday morning at 7 for the Disaster Recovery Hour, right here on AM 970, The Apple.